The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And it's almost like it erases everything that's happened. Everything that previous to this, I forgot it. Whatever. And in Eli's mindset, he was racing Jet Lawrence, and he actually felt like he can beat Jet Lawrence. You like give Justin Barsha the benefit of doubt. Damn. You know that's bad. You know you're on a different level. But hey, I just think Cooper Webb's going to be a different version of Cooper Webb. Like, we're going to start getting the championship Cooper Webb, because he licked that steak. He got into the steakhouse. Jet let him back in.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you,
and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
Win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is. Your boy JS7. And you know where we at. We at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 12 from St. Louis, where they had the Triple Crown. And they had some action. Where also, we saw Beast Mode. And if you pay attention to the inside line, you would have picked him, because I told you, Beast Mode, I had a sneaky feeling that Eli Tomac was coming back. You got three different opportunities to go for Beast Mode, and I do believe Beast Mode is going to come back. We don't have to worry about the weather. We don't have to worry about these crazy ruts. We just got to worry about going out there, and you got three chances to get it done. Three opportunities to hit the lotto, and I believe Eli Tomac will hit one. Why? Because he's Eli Tomac. And we had Jet Lawrence coming off of Seattle for a vengeance. Would he bounce back because he had the speed? Or would Cooper Webb keep the wood down and lay the wood to these guys again? Well, we found out. And what we found out, there was a lot of action. And we had the AMA. J-Bone was even involved racing in there. So let's get into it. St. Louis, round 12. Don't get freezed. The best part about St. Louis is the dirt. It's one of the best dirts on the circuit. Everybody, every year, we know when you're going there, the dirt's always pretty good. Like, it's kind of a mix between a little bit of hard slipperiness, like somewhat like a Glendale, but it has some traction in it. So it's nice. Sometimes you get to stadiums where the dirt's too sticky or it's too soft. Well, St. Louis is the mix of both. You get the ruts, but it's also got a hard base to it, so it doesn't get too deep. So I know all the riders like it. I enjoyed it. And it's always brought some good action because of that. So the track had some 90s in it. It was nice to see the kind of an old style whoop section where guys were either blitzing them or jumping it. So you had options to it. And it has some few tricky little rhythm sections. But overall, the track lent it for a Triple Crown type of race. And I thought the track started out somewhat, you know, one-lined it, but it opened up as the night went on and it showed on the racetrack. So after last weekend in Seattle, we saw Jet Lawrence. He's been riding really good all year. And I think for him, he's got that confidence that he knows he's pretty much the fastest. I mean, he might have known that since A1, but now you can just tell by the way he rides, he feels like he's confident. And watching him in practice, I mean, the kid, you can see it. Like, you can see where he's going faster. And I think he does a lot of things that's somewhat sneaky, you know, some maneuvers around like standing up in certain spots. And if we watch in practice, and I'll try to show you, he's able to, you know, use his body and use his legs as an extension of his suspension. You know, a lot of these guys do that, like Chase Exon does it, but you know, when there's a part in practice where he comes across the mechanics area and then there's the triple, and then there's a 180 going down the straight. If you watch him pass the mechanics area, like he's going fast, he's got the speed. He comes across the mechanics area, like the bike sliding around. And what he does is, as soon as he makes that 90, he starts like standing up. And it's a cool part because you can watch him, like the bike kind of slides out. There's ruts going up the face of that triple. But what he does is he stands up before he gets to that triple. And if you watch his body, it's like as soon as the bike starts hitting, going off the face of the triple, he actually kind of squats and he allows his legs to soak it up rather than actually having that full force where the suspension is going to drop down and rebound. And what he's doing is, it's like he's keeping the bike super light. So when it hits the bike, the suspension is not compressing so much, so he doesn't get so much height. He actually goes forward, and he does that in that section, and he does that in the rhythm sections. And so when you look at where Jet makes up his time, it's actually small things like that. And of course, a lot of those guys do that. But when you watch Jet, it's almost like he's got two parts. A lot of those guys do when they're standing up off the face of a jump or a triple. Obviously, they're not putting as much weight, and so the suspension is like, you know, not rebounding. But Jet takes it to another level by actually standing up and almost squatting into it. So it's really not putting any weight on the bike. So it's kind of like he's, you know, losing 100 pounds essentially, you know, hypothetically, where he's not basically having, he's having his body compressed, so it's soaking it up. And then he's also flexing his legs, so it's soaking up. So it's almost like the bike's going off that triple face without having anybody on it. And it's just, you know, moving forward. So he does a great job at doing that. In the second video we have, you could tell like he kind of slots out going into the face of the triple, which kind of throws his angle off, and he does the same thing, but the bike rebounds a little bit more than it did the first time because he slid out and then he had to worry about trying to cross rut, but it throws him off a little bit more right than he did the previous time. But watch what happens when he lands. Like he misses all those bumps, and it actually sets him up really well for that corner. And so what ends up happening is, he actually goes lower the first time and actually faster, but the second time, because he slid out and he got a cross rut and threw to the right, he actually misses all those bumps. And then at that point, he was able to like break and then turn down lower and then get started going down that straightaway. And if you look at the lap times, that's when he got his fastest lap time. And I guarantee it's probably in that last section, because I was watching that practice and he actually made a couple mistakes and that lap would have been faster, but he gained so much time because of what he was doing. And that little mistake, he turned that into a place where he made up time. And I think those are the places that these guys got to focus on and try to get better at, because that's where he's making his time. But all that being said, you still had to show up for the night, and it was nighttime.
You have to go night, night. You have to go night, night.
And you could tell with everyone, you know, Eli Tomac, you know, Jet knows, and even I know, sometimes when we're going to races, you know, I was always thinking I was going to be the fastest. And I think Jet's to this point where he always thinks he's going to be the fastest or plans on being there. But you can tell how close everyone else is. And I'm sure he saw Eli Tomac. I'm sure he saw those other guys being close. And even though you're the fastest, you still look at those lap times and be like, okay, I'm going to have a race tonight. And I believe Jet knew he was going to have a race. Now, what kind of race he was going to have, he wouldn't know that, because the last few weeks, Eli hasn't been Eli, and Jet, even it doesn't really matter who's there, he's still able to pull away from him. I mean, I think he's getting to a point where he knows how to race everyone, but he hasn't raced Eli, and he hasn't raced Eli this way. So as much as he has confidence, as much as Eli's been doing his thing, when they both get firing on all the cylinders, and the one time I would say they were somewhat close, it was in Anaheim, and Jet wasn't able to run Eli down. So he's still figuring that part out. But confidence-wise, I don't think he was necessarily worried about Eli showing up like Eli did, because he wouldn't know. Eli hasn't done that all year. So going into the night program, I believe Jet was thinking that, I feel pretty good, there's traction on this track, and I'm still the fastest, and I still think like in this Triple Crown, as long as Kent Roxon ain't getting out front, then I don't have to worry about somebody pulling out. Well, he saw Eli Tomac out there. And I think what Jet did was what he did in Seattle. Like he was out there racing. He kind of let the race kind of calm to him, like being very, wouldn't say cautious, but you know, make sure you're not getting caught up in the first few laps. Cause you know, like once I get going, just like I did in Seattle, I feel like I can run these guys down. Well, he was doing that. And next thing you know, like that big old number three was out there in beast mode, was feeling himself. He was feeling good. And the one thing I said, guys like Chase Sexton, guys like Eli Tomac, they're a little emotional. They run off a little emotional. Eli's trying to find confidence. Eli's trying to look for anything to say, remind himself, I'm toe smacking. I'm toe smack. So as Jet was racing, he's allowing Eli to find confidence. And when Eli finds confidence, we have races like we did. And so I think Jet's mindset was thinking that he would build a run up like he caught Cooper, like he caught Chase. Because even though I say Chase rides emotional, Chase hasn't had the speed to win when he's on. And you put them both up there like it was an Anaheim 2 when they had the Triple Crown. Jet couldn't catch Eli. Well, even though Chase might get emotional, Jet's still somewhat been faster. Chase might just be in the race. So I think Jet was planning on, okay, I'll get past these guys, you know, and I'll run Eli down. And he found out something like different. And yeah, at the end of the race, like he was able to catch Eli. But I believe that was lappers, because once Jet got through him and Eli kind of got through him, Eli kind of held that gap. And it was the one time that I seen like Eli looked like he was really doing it easy. Even Justin Cooper, like the Yamahas for some reason looked really good on this racetrack. And it reminded me a lot of Dallas, like the way Eli was riding, the looseness, like he just looked like things were easy. Even jumping in the whoops, like at no point did it look like Eli was worried about his motorcycle doing anything. And so I think for Jet Lawrence, you know, he saw that and, you know, he was pushing the pace. And I will say this, there's as a racer, and Jet knows this, there was a couple times that Jet got lucky, you know, like he was doing some things like he was. When you watch this kid ride, it's different than even when we saw Chase. You know, Chase was going really fast, but you can tell, like you can notice the movements of the bike. You can notice like when the front end was almost going to tuck. No point intended, but you can tell when things are happening with Jet. Like he just looks like he's doing it easy. And then you don't notice it until you're like, wow, man, he was really close to that hay bale. And then he'll hit a rhythm section and he'll kind of get squirrely. And you're like, oh, that was kind of weird. But he's so talented and the kid's so good that it just kind of goes in and goes out. So it makes you think that, you know what, he's not really pushing it. Well, I think what's happening to Jet and what happened this weekend was that Jet was trying to run down Eli, and Eli was running a good pace. Clearly, like, you know, even Cooper Webb was actually riding good that first race. So Jet was pushing it. And I think he wanted to send a message, because the last thing you don't want to do, kind of the point I brought up at Daytona, once Jet got around Eli, it was not good for Eli. So the one thing he wanted to do was at least try to close in on Jet, to let Jet know, even though he knew he was going to beat him, just let him know that I was cold. You know, when things are cold, they not as long, they get a little tight. And once I start warming up, they start dropping it, and then I'm back. That's what Eli was trying to do. Well, he wasn't able to do it. So Jet in that first race, I believe he was actually trying to run Eli down, because not that he was thinking about beating him, but to let Eli know that I'm coming. And so when Eli lined it up on the next race, he knew I won, but I got lucky because this kid was coming. And in another couple more laps, I probably got beat. That was the message that Jet was trying to send. Well, when you watch Jet, it's like he's riding. When he hits some of those rhythm sections, the things that make Jet great, and I talked about this a few episodes ago, he's very patient. When he's out front and the kid's dominant out front, the only time he can like mess up is when he's thinking about Waffle House. But the kid's very patient, and what he does around the racetrack, which makes him good, is that he hops around like he's very light on the bike, and you know, he'll use his knees and use his body to kind of absorb stuff. And that's kind of what I was talking about in that practice. So when he's running in the rhythm sections, like he was doing that same thing. But when he's coming up to the pack, the only time that we've seen Jet have a few, you know, minor hiccups is when he's coming up through the back of the pack. And I think what's happening is that he's still riding, like when he's attacking those rhythm sections and when he bottoms out, when his bike G's out into stuff, he's still attacking that as if he's out front, you know, as if he's being patient. So he's allowing his body to soak up and almost be an extension of suspension. Well, when you start going even faster and you're attacking even more, he's not really bracing for that. And that's why when you watch Jet, it's like you notice that he'll hit a rhythm section and then it'd get like really squirrely. Like he'll get a funny bounce. And the reason I believe that's happening is because he's still riding as if he's out front, you know, being very comfortable. He's attacking the stuff, making sure he gets patient, allows that bike to drop in. He's not rushing anything. And when you're going, I wouldn't say slower, but when you're not hitting it as fast as far as G-force wise, you don't have to worry about it. And so his body soaks it up. But when he's bulldogging it, as I say, like a Jeremy Martin, because he's trying to catch Eli Tomac, he's actually hitting it harder and he's not prepared for it. Therefore, you notice Jet, I hit a jump and he'll go right or left. And the reason my whole point is that he's actually a lot closer on the edge than what it looks. And because the kid's so talented, he saves those things and he moves on. And then he does something else so beautiful that it makes you forget that this dude almost ran off the track a few times. Well, I saw that this weekend, and especially when even when Eli was behind him in the second race, those moments were close. And I think that's the part for us as fans. And, you know, even if I'm Eli Tomac, I watched that and I'm like, man, I'm a lot closer than the actual results are saying. I feel like I can actually get at him, because as a rider, you know what that looks like. You know how close, you know, 1 inch or 2 inches over here, the race is over. And Jet Lawrence had a few of those moments. So it was good to see Eli show up and, you know, after the last few weekends. And it was cool also to see Jet raise his game, because the kid's phenomenal. But, you know, both those guys were on edges and it was great to watch it from home. So going into the third race, you were thinking that, okay, Jet Lawrence won the second one, Eli won the first one, so it was all tied. But we saw what happened at the end of that second race and where Jet jumps on the red cross flag. Now, I actually thought maybe it was going to be a technicality where it was like, okay, the race is over. So does that really count? You know, like I hit the checker flag, the red cross. But nonetheless, we all know you don't jump on the red cross flag. And before you really say he didn't see it, or halfway through the air, like he realized what happened. And so I think out of all positions, I think what happened with Jet, he just beat beast mode. And Eli won that first race. You know, he was somewhat celebrating. He's going down the straightaway, not really, you know, paying attention. I mean, he's out front. So, and when you know that, when you're in a position, the last thing you're thinking about is seeing a red cross flag. I mean, the race is over. So he sees that the checkered flag is waving. He sees that the red cross. And I think because he was in the moment of being excited for what he just did, he just jumped. And that was it. Like he jumped. He knew it. He saw the red cross flag. Yeah, it wasn't waving, but the guy was also waving the checkered flag. And the guy was off, I think maybe Vince or somebody was off the side of the track. So I don't think the official would be super like, you know, crazy about it, you know, like trying to stop him because he's worried about landing on it. So I think that's why he was holding the red cross flag out. And I also think since it was the checkered flag, once you get to the line, you don't necessarily have to jump. So I believe that's another reason why the AMA guy was just holding it out, because there's no race. Like, hit the checkered flag, the race is over. I'm holding this out so you guys know you don't have to jump. The guy's off the side of the track, so I don't need, it's not like super immediate danger, but we need you guys not to jump this. So I think that's why he was holding it out without waving it. Nonetheless, the only person that probably should have saw it was probably Jet Lawrence, because I think even with Cooper Webb, like, and those guys were racing. Like, they had other guys going on. And when you're racing, you see the white flag, because they jumped it on the white flag. So you see one flag flying, and it's kind of like when you're going down the road, driving down, you might see the McDonald's sign, like out of corner of your eye, but you see that little like blow up thing that's be like going like this, right? Like, that's why they have the mannequins of guys on the side of the road when they want you to notice something. That's why they be spinning it. You know, they got a guy in the gold outfit, so he's moving. But yeah, you saw the Panera Bread sign, like you saw it over there out of the corner of your eye, but you were concentrated on the slap man, whatever he's doing. Well, when you got Cooper Webb and those guys, they're racing someone in front of them. They know it's a white flag. They see it waving. And I don't think necessarily they're looking at dude in front of them. I don't know if they even saw the red cross flag. And particularly the way they were coming, like they were actually in the inside, coming out and kind of fading towards outside, where Jet actually went outside And then he came back in. And the whole reason I say I think Jet was more in the mindset of just winning the race and not really thinking about that was because, you know, he kind of goes in the corner, lackadaisy, and then he kind of just rides up to the jump where he's not like fully in the zone. Because I think if he was racing or Eli was behind him, I think maybe he would have saw it because he'd have been more concentrated on what he was doing and maybe saw that flag. But nonetheless, he jumps on it. He's in the middle of the air. You knew he knew it. He looked back. And that's where you go back to, if you didn't see it, then he wouldn't have reacted because he wouldn't even have known that it was even there. And I don't think the rule is it has to be waving for you not to jump it. I think if you see the red cross flag, it's pretty clear whether the guy's waving or not. So it wasn't, you know, at the end of the day, it was Jet. And, you know, I think he kind of takes responsibility of it. I'm sure he was probably bummed that the guy was off the side of the track. And like I said, the only explanation I could see would be that it was at the end of the race. There was really no immediate danger as far as the AMA guy having to run out on the track and wave it and cause all chaos. But he needed those guys not to jump that. And therefore, they didn't do it. And so, you know, I think that was the point. Even with the white flag, you know, there's one lap. And I think it's still that same situation where it's not like the guy's laying on the racetrack. So whatever it is, Jet jumped it and it costs him two position, which means he's going into the last race a few points down on Eli. And I think Jet was bummed out, obviously, but the race to me was still in front of him. I think he would have had a hard time because the way Eli was riding, he would still probably finish second. But knowing Eli Tomac and knowing the race, it might be different when you're thinking about mindset. Like, would Eli go into that third race and be like, I just need to finish behind him? Or would he go into it like thinking that I want to show this kid, I need the confidence, and my confidence after the first race, this kid caught me. I got caught up in lap race, but he caught me. Second race, I was there. And even though he pulls away, I was still the same pace, but he beat me. I couldn't do anything about it. So the third race, his mind's prepared to go out there and beat this kid. Well, if Jet Lawrence gets in front of him and pulls away, what does that do to Eli? Does he okay with second place or does he end up third or fourth? Well, we'll never know. So going into the third race, Jet knew he had to, you know, beat Eli by a couple of positions. But to be honest with you, I don't think Jet was necessarily worried about that. You know, once he got docked, you know, he knew that possibly the way Eli's riding, most likely he's going to get in second. I think it was more about Jet having a mindset, same thing I was saying about Eli, that mindset of like showing up and winning that race, like for the future. It was about the future because in reality, Eli's really not in the championship. I mean, yeah, he's in it, but he's not necessarily in it. Nobody predicted what was going to happen in the Barcia incident. So the mindset between Jet and Eli, I think they were going in the last race, the mano y mano, because both of them were on pretty good that night. And they wanted to race. So even though Jet had those penalties, I think he was really like too bummed on I'm going to lose this overall necessarily, rather than I think he was worried about getting at Eli. Therefore, the third race happened. He doesn't get the best starts. And then next thing you know, bam! Like, that's how it was.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Like, at first, we were like, whoa, welcome back, Bam Bam, like, where the hell did you come from? And then when you're watching it, you see he was worried about getting freeze throwing that thing. And so, at first, it was like, we were concentrated on, like, damn, did he just, yeah, he did, and he hit it. But at no point did I think that Justin actually went in to hit Jet like that. Like, he didn't. So there obviously was a more of a reason, and you could tell when you first see it, you could see Vince Freeze on the inside, like you knew something was going to happen on the replay. And it was scary because, as I said, all these guys, I mean, even the most aggressive rider, they're not stupid. And that was stupid, you know, for him to try to go in and hit him that way. That would be stupid because not only would it hurt Jet, I mean, it would hurt Barsha. I mean, literally, he's running into a wall. And Jet ain't no little dude. And Jet be getting on the gas. So the G4s, my calculation's a little off, but it went in good. And as Jason Thomas said, I don't even know what he was thinking. Like, there was no plan. Well, the plan was not to get his ass freeze, because that's what his plan was. His plan was not to get ended up like what Jet did. So Barsha was going in the angle, the only possible angle that he knew he could walk out alive. Because even though he went to that line, Vince Freeze still could have got in and maybe gave him a little wheel tap. And so, you know, that's his whole concentration was about not letting Vince get to him, because the man was going backwards down the racetrack. You look at the angle, he was going backwards. The incident could have been a lot worse. I mean, both of those guys did a good job at somewhat bracing each other. Like, Barsha knew, when you look at Jet, Barsha knew as soon as he slowed down, he started cutting down, and Barsha was trying to get on the brakes, and they end up hitting. But when you watch Jet, he took obviously a lower line. Like, you could tell that he was going a lot lower than he was anybody else, because there was really no, I guess, ruts or anything there. It was kind of flat where that bottom part of that corner, you could tell where guys are riding at. Even if they squared up and went down the inside, like where Jet was going was pretty like low. And the reason, I mean, he already had that plan going down that straightaway, because he stays really close to the outside up against those tough blocks. And he goes up in that berm, and then he has to slow down quite a bit to make that turn and shoot down. And, you know, I think for him, I think he was trying to set up so he can get, have the option going down that next straightaway to be able to either go inside and maybe try to get on the inside of his brother, or go outside and hit that triple. So by cutting that corner lower, one, you miss all the roofs, but you put yourself on the outside, which it was easy getting into 90, going from the outside to the inside, or staying on the outside and railing that corner. So I think that was Jet's mindset, was the next corner. I don't think he was necessarily worried about, you know, being where he was. And the one thing I will say, when you're used to being out front, you're used to being around fast guys, and it used to happen to me a lot. You know, obviously I had the Ryan Dungey incident, but
back around Stewart, and Dungey goes right into Stewart.
I had another one. I had a few, but I had another one in, I think it was 2007, Indianapolis, where I was dead last off the gate, and it was the first lap. I came by, hit the triple, and I did exactly what Jet did. I'm in the middle of the pack, and I cut down, and I think it was Matt Gorky or somebody ran into me, just like that. And luckily for me, it was a slower part of the track, and it was just a different, Matt wasn't worried about getting free, so he wasn't coming in with the speed. But my point is, when you're out front and you're used to being around different riders, when you get bad starts, you don't really think about those things. Like, you don't think about, if I cut down on the first lap, that I have to worry about something like this happening. Like, cause you're just used to, I don't know, just being out front, or used to having, you know, things, that incident not happen. And I think that's a part of like winning and just always being out front, that when Jet cut down, like, he had no thought that he was doing a U-turn in the middle of the intersection. Like, he didn't think about it with grandma. Like, you know what? The lights when those flashing like green ones, you know, it's a flashing red one. Like, you ain't thinking about going out, you get bam. And that's what he did. And so for him, he got lucky because that could have been a lot of incident. We thought at first that maybe he broke his arm or whatever. But, you know, luckily it was just like a bad bruising, and just because these dudes are tough and he's laying on the side of the track. But also, I will say this. I think this will change Jet. This possibly can change Jet, not in the injury wise, like because he's going to heal up, but just the mindset. Because I do know when that stuff happened to me, when I got hit with Dungy, I wasn't up front. I really wasn't making passes like that. But next time you're in those spots, like, I believe Jet would start racing the first part of the race, like, nervous, you know, like he might be a little bit more hesitant doing things. And as a racer and anything, anytime you're doing something dangerous, any type of hesitation brings in other problems. So it could change Jet as far as it could change Jet, like my presentation I was giving you, just like that ding dong just went. It could change your mindset. So I think for here, Jet obviously realizes that was on him. You know, I think, you know, even with Justin, I don't even think it was really, I wouldn't even say really on Jet. I think it's one of those things that, you know, like, all right, I cut down in the middle of the pack. I shouldn't do that. Whether Justin's there or not, I end up getting a bad end of the stick, but it's on me. I can probably avoid that from happening because I don't got to worry about Justin trying to take me out. He wasn't aiming at me. And Justin, he was so shook. Dude almost pulled off the racetrack. You know, you could tell he didn't want to do that. And, you know, Vince Fees is out there still trying to freeze people. You know, like, you're not even in the race, but it just in the race, just freezing. Vince didn't do nothing. He was doing what he was probably got done to him. His mindset was going to kill Bam Bam. Why? Because maybe Bam Bam did it to him. Whoever.
Today your ass is going to die, bitch. Say goodnight, motherfucker.
Some people is just in their genes. I got to knock the down. Just do it. So I don't know what happened, but something was about to happen. Maybe it happened before. But nonetheless, Jet doesn't have to worry about any of that incident. And he should look at this as, yeah, I know the points got cut down. I know Eli is, he could be back. He could be back, which is another person that, I mean, I'm not saying, but he is on Yamaha. And Cooper Webb is 8 points back doing what Cooper Webb does, just there and just nothing special, but he was special. And all of a sudden, this gap cut down. Now, if I'm Jet Lawrence, I'm just going to look at, just like the beginning part of the season, this has been on me. Because riding-wise, I think I got these guys covered. So in the beginning part of the season, I felt like I had these guys covered. It was me who was jumping off the racetrack. It was me who was getting up and, you know, Cynthia, Daddy, talking all that noise in front of Susie. Ziggy, trying to get up in that action, knowing that Jason would shoot everybody. You know, so I think if I'm him, I'm just leaning on the fact that I've been pretty good. And then if I ride, I stay up, I can handle this. So that 8 points, it's 8 points and it's 8 points. I don't want it any closer. And I was to the point, and Jay was to the point where he was talking, my man, he was going to start like having like the race was going to be dictated because of the points lead. Well, he is right. Race is going to be dictated because of points lead. It's just now I'm going to have to race. So for a fan's point of view, it's on. And I think, as I said, even with Cooper Webb, I'm not even talking about him, but I'm talking about Jet. But I'm going to talk about Cooper Webb, even though I'm talking about Jet. Now he got to worry about that dog that you hung that thing out and he licked it. He licked that steak. You still got the steak. You still got it. But you don't let dude lick it. Now, so he's sliving. He's sliving all out. And now he got his homeboy. His homeboy saying like, well, I'm kind of full. Like, I got my win and I know you hungry and I can't really get the steak. I'm like on the chain. My chain doesn't go that far, but you can get the steak. So maybe if you get the steak, maybe you'll break me off a piece. And Eli Tomac. And the whole reason I'm saying that is because I think Cooper maybe has the steak opportunity to eat at the Kobe Steakhouse and he might throw Eli some bones. So even though Jet Lawrence ain't worried about Eli getting the steak, he got to worry about Eli maybe being in the way for Cooper Webb to get the steak. That's the point. It's a lot at stake. So Jet Lawrence need to hang it up and just be like, dude, I got to go out and dominate it. And the good thing for him is that he owns the steak restaurant. Like, he still has the cows. He's It's up to him whether you want to give it to him or not, but right now it's on. So I think he has to worry about that. And I know Chase Sexton, he's still there. He's still trying to get him tipped out. And I think after seeing Eli Tomac, we all believe. Because Eli Tomac, even though he's different from all these cats, clearly, he's still Eli Tomac, which gives guys like Chase Sexton hope, and they'll come out and try to get him. So it was good to see. But Jet Lawrence, lucky. I'm glad to see you get up. You land on the ground like a little baby that got his booty whooped. He's like, ah, you know how it is. He's like, ah, he's down emotional. Probably the emotion was like, remember last year, maybe the year before, I said, when guys that win a lot, when they hit the ground, they have a different reaction the way compared to guys that get like 5th, 10th. And not saying Jet Lawrence, you know, he was hurt. But sometimes like when you're all about winning and your whole thing is about winning, your whole mindset is winning. And when that happens, you're like, life is over. I quit. Ah, hang me. That's where he was. So everything was ended. And then he realized I just got hit by a bus. Now my hand hurts and all that. So for him, he was able to get up. We saw him do his stuff. He was still out there trying to bump around and stuff. And it was kudos for him to get out there and ride. I mean, it showed me some heart. But I think for him, he's going to have to race, which is better for us. And I think now guys like Cooper Webb, guys like Eli's going into a week that he was from last weekend, he was thinking about, like, was this even worth it coming back? As I was telling you, like, there was something that was just different, like something that was different. And he kind of said it, but now he realizes it's worth it. Little Johnny got to see Daddy win. Daddy got to win. And Eli looked, when I watched it, Eli looked like it was easier going that pace than even Jet Lawrence. Like, Eli, I thought he was like, all right, is he going to just pass, dude? All that being said, all that started changing in that second race. Not the first one. You know, he won the first one, Eli, but it was really the second one. But I ain't going there yet because I want to do something special for Eli. I ain't ready to talk about him. I want to talk about Mr. Wood. Mr. Webb. That's what it was. Yeah, Cooper Wood. Webb. Now, he didn't do nothing, did he? Nope. Actually, I think Cooper was riding pretty good. That first race, like, Cooper had some speed to him. And even I think we looked at lap times, even though Cooper had some speed, where I noticed, I was like, damn, he still wasn't the fastest. But he was actually catching those guys at one point. And that's kind of what he does. You know, just gets up there and just does whatever. And I don't really know. Like, actually, I wouldn't say I don't know because I do know. I was going to say I don't know how much this changes, like, Cooper, you know, his mentality. But I do know, actually. I think Cooper can be a dog now. The things that I said that Cooper wouldn't start doing, I think he actually might start doing. When I was like, you haven't really seen him mess with Jet. Like, you haven't really seen him do that. Like, you haven't seen him line up next to him. You haven't seen him, like, really running in on him. Like, yeah, he came in at Glendale, but I think he was actually trying to avoid him, really. Now, even though I don't think he's going to be super blatant, and even though I might say this, and I might predict something not to happen like I see all the time, I just think Cooper Webb's going to be a different version of Cooper Webb. Like, we're going to start getting the championship Cooper Webb because he licked that steak. He got into the steakhouse. Jet let him back in. And yeah, I know that's what's going to happen. I know. Whether it's lining up next to him or just the way he races, now Cooper really has a chance to be there. And the reason I had a little hesitation is because how he got here. Like, this is the one time he's gotten here without being some kind of instigator or the reason why. And yes, hold up. He is the reason why, because he has to line up and go out there. And I did say because Cooper Webb's present, maybe dude jumped out the racetrack. But in the past, even last year, he had that race in Tampa. Like, he was there and he was putting on pressure on Chase, because at that point, Chase, and it was Chase and Eli Tomac. Those were two guys. And then all of a sudden, Cooper came in and, yeah, he was there. But, you know, he really wasn't a threat. Then he won Tampa and we're like, oh, okay, all right. And in the past, like, he's presence and he was there in Roxon and he stayed there, or Eli, Like, my point is, he was there making things happen because the way he was riding and he was putting under pressure, where this situation, it's like, okay, you were a lot, Jet was faster, even when you had Woody. He was faster and he ends up going down, but at some point you're like, man, maybe even Chase should have won that race, but you were able to do it because you were Cooper Webb. And then in this race, like, you were there, you were riding okay, but it took J-Bone and then homeboy again, bam, then not freeze. And then that points gap cuts down. But he didn't get here because of the chase situation or the, in the past. So it made me hesitate. Like, I don't know, would he change? Like, would he have that mindset? Because I think the difference is that he knew that he was the reason why he can cause the reasons and all these incidents to keep happening and happen for him to get this close. He could be the reason for that to happen because of what he's doing. This time, I don't know if he feels like he's that reason. Does he feel like, well, man, I'm getting it. So something's telling me that like this might be mine's, but I don't know what that is. So how can I attack this dude when I don't even know what it is? Because every time I race against him, he beats me or he's been better. It's up to him to allow me to get a piece of that steak. I haven't taken it. So does that change? But I just think Cooper's Cooper. I think he just, his mindset is going to make him believe that Jet, he set up Justin to get freeze, which in order, like, Jet to get hit. Like, that's what he's going to tell himself. Like, he's going to tell him, like, oh, I needed Eli to win this race because I needed Eli to be like Beast Mode. That's going to be because I'm not as quick as Jet, but I think he might be. So if I get him back up there, he's too far in the points. And that once we get close to it, he's not going to like slow me down. He's going to be helping me. So I need Eli to be there to help win, to beat Jet, because then he's going to possibly hit the ground. I don't know. That's what he would say. It didn't make any sense what I said, but that's what makes sense in Cooper's. And I believe maybe that's where he's going to be. He's going to bite his leg off like Dan Campbell and the Lions. I'm biting legs. That's Cooper Webb, biting legs.
The way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right.
All right, bro. Like, nobody even brought up a leg. I don't care. I'm biting kneecaps. That's what it was. I'm kneecapping. I'm about to pop kneecaps in these fools. That's Cooper Webb. So whatever it is going to be, he licked the steak. He's going to get a piece of that steak. And I think now Cooper is going to see everything that's at stake. And he's going to get it down. And Jet's going to have to realize. And Jet's going to have to ride. Otherwise, Steakhouse is going to be the Webb factory. Or it's going to be the Woody's. I mean, Webb's. But that was all because of Cooper Webb. That's his mindset. But Chase Sexton, he rode all right. He was there. He was fast, but he wasn't on this level. I don't think the bike was as good as what he wanted to be, or Eli was better, because this weekend, Eli was better than everybody else. I mean, even at this point, going into that last race, Eli, the one thing I will say about Eli, and I'm about to talk about him. Chase, you cool. You doing your thing. Everybody else, y'all doing your thing. I wanted to get here, and now I'm here. One thing about Eli, and it's different from the past when he was struggling. You ever notice when Eli has to do something, he does it? Like, since he's been on Yamaha, when he has to, like, show up and he needs to start, and when he decides he wants to go in, he does it. Where even on the Kawasaki, maybe he was faster. Maybe he needed to, like, go out there and he might be in the same situation. But whatever changed his mindset, it went from, like, you would think, oh, okay, all right, like, is this dude going to forget how to ride a motorcycle? Because he did that. To you just have to believe. And I think this year, because of how good Jet is and how we somewhat feel like Jet's allowing these guys back into it, you haven't seen enough of Beast Mode. Beast Mode hadn't really been found. And even though this was closest to Beast Mode, like, Eli, I think he still can be, I wouldn't say faster, but I think he would just be more confident, to where you saw what happened from that first race. Eli won that first race. And yeah, he was feeling good. Practice would say, okay, you put him out front. He's done that before. I mean, Triple Crown, he got like 10 and then came out because he got a start. And said it at that point, it was all dictated on circumstance. Circumstance, he got a start. He knows he can ride. He can ride. And he knows maybe Jet still, at confidence-wise, he can catch him. But he was able to win. But where things really changed was that second race. Yeah, I know he got beat. But when you think about Eli and the way the season's been going, and I only talk about things that I experienced, situations, I know when you like win, you don't really believe that you won, right? Like Eli was fast at first moto. And even though he got caught up in the lappers and he was able to pull away from Jet, in his mindset, he still don't really like know, because Jet did catch him. And there's reasons for it, but you know, hey. So he goes to the second race, like, okay, I want to get a good start, whatever. He, you know, Jet gets a better start. He's in front of him. But I know what happened to Eli. And same thing happens to me. Like, when the guy that is the fastest, that the guy that is causing all this chaos in your mind and thinking all this stuff, when you can see him and he's not pulling away from you, or you catch him, that was it. That's where the race changed. That's where everything changed at. That dude was different from that point on. And it was about 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever laps it in, because I can't remember and I can't count. It's at some point in that race where Eli catches Jet Lawrence. And you could see things flip. Because just like in some of those heat races, when he was riding against, you know, Jason Anderson or whoever it was, like you could tell when Eli was riding, he started over jumping a little bit more in the corner. And Yamaha got a little louder. And there was more roost coming off. And then he started doing, turn down for what? Turn down for what? He was starting to do that. Well, you saw that happen in the second race. He started going outside. He was railing. It became a point where Eli realized that, damn, I'm still good. And this dude has been this good. And it's almost like it erases everything that's happened. Everything that previous to this, I forgot it. Whatever. In Eli's mindset, he was racing Jet Lawrence and he actually felt like he can beat Jet Lawrence. Now, I don't know what the reason was that, like, he was there at the end and, you know, Jet pulled away. I think, you know, whatever it was, like, Jet was faster through the whoops. And Eli, even though he's close to being Eli, like, he still maybe got another level and all the confidence doesn't come back immediately. And he was just waiting for the third race. But the fact is, I could tell the way the dude was riding and the way he looked on that bike. I was waiting for Eli to pass Jet. I'm like, yeah, that looks easy. And as I was saying about Jet, when he was hitting stuff and sometimes getting a little squirrely, I didn't see any of that from Eli. It just looked like Eli was like, all right, I'll just get him next moto. That's what it looked like. And then that gap at the end, even though that was a gap, don't look at that gap. Like, there was some point in that race that Eli looked back, realized third is ain't going to catch me. I'm going for the second race, the third race, because I think I can beat this dude. And the reason I say that is going back to the beginning part. I said, when Eli, when he's been on form, every race that he needed to be up front, every important race, Eli Tomac pulls whole shots. Eli Tomac's up front. Go back to Paula 2022 when him and Chase, winner take all. Chase was on it. Chase got him to business, or even back it up before that. That same 2022 Ironman. Chase, all the form was on him. Chase was the fastest guy. Eli, oh man, like maybe this is the new age. What happened? Eli came out that first moto and gave dude the business. I mean, not business like gap, beat him by a million miles, whatever. Like, that was a long, why I say a million miles? Just, you know, beat him by a minute. No, he just went out and won. And at that point, Chase was trending. Chase had all the momentum. Eli stepped it up. Then it came to Fox Raceway, Paula. Eli went out and won that race. Last year, when all those guys were closing up Daytona, Eli went out and won that race. Eli came win the championship. It was actually Nashville. Chase was coming. Eli went out and was out front. Like, everything that he's had to go and step up, Eli does that. Well, that third race, Eli out front. Eli out front. And I don't even know. Jet would have been up there. It would have been a good race. The reason I say that is because I know when dudes know. And when dudes know, they want to be up front. And Eli in that second race, once he let Jet go, you knew that, like, he was like, all right, all right. And he even said it, like, all right, I got to change some lines. Like, I'm not going to be able to get him at this race, but I'm confident enough to go in this last race and be like 101, because I actually think I can beat this dude. And why I think I can beat this dude? Nah, not because I beat the dude in the first race. Nah, I mean, yeah, it's because he didn't run away from me. And when you're that type of athlete, Eli Tomac, Ricky Carmichael, Jason, you know,
what did he say?
Jet Lawrence, any of all these athletes. I mean, even Vince Freeze, when he knows he's about to freeze somebody, his mindset, I'm about to freeze the field. Like, they all got to know. We stubborn. Like, we stubborn. We don't care. Like, we don't care if we just got work. Eli don't care that he was like in whatever place last week. He don't care. You give us a little hope, man, we'll take everything. And that's our mindset of knowing that, like, we're, I always said, like, we're very mental. Like, we can go the other way really quick. Like, we can get in our head. Like, I never believed that I was as good as I was ever. Didn't matter who I raced. No matter how many times I won, I just never thought I was that good ever. But at the same time, like, when I wanted to switch into the other gear, I can make myself believe that these dudes don't got a chance. They don't got a chance. Don't matter how many times I've been beat. And I think that's what happened to Eli. Like, he made himself believe that he's still there. And even though there was no proof in the pudding, in that he didn't even have no ingredients, like, he made himself. And that's what all these guys do when they make their mindset up. Man, they're the best athletes in the world. And when you're talking about one to one, the greatest in our sport, when he decides to do that, then you get that level. And I do think when he pulls that whole shot, he was going out the road. He was about to get Jet business. Like, I don't know if you'd have gave it to him, but his mindset, he was going to go give Jet business. And Jet ended up getting Bam Bam, blah, whatever. But Eli Tomac, it was Eli Toe Smack. And it was nothing, nobody was going to stop him. Like, I don't even think anything. And it was great to see that. And yeah, I could talk about, yeah, the bike looked good. And I could talk about that track looked like it was in Dallas. And last time he looked good, it was like in Dallas. But it don't even matter because this dude, it finally started finding forms. And after the injury, it's a big relief off his shoulder. And so for Eli, he comes back, wherever they're racing at next, Nashville, I think it is, one of those races. If he comes back and he does something, Cole's shaking his head saying no. But Nashville's coming up. Foxborough. All right. But Nashville's coming up, right? He might not do it at Foxborough, but he might do it at Nashville. So, hey, at one of them races, Foxborough, Nashville. If he comes back and does it, then that's all you really know, because I think it comes at a perfect time. There ain't nothing better. So if you're struggling, and just like I was in 2014, like in the outdoors, like I was struggling, and then I was able to win one moto, and then I was able to win both those motos, and I went into the off break. We all know what happened during the off break. We ain't got to talk about any of that. But when you get in that spot, like, and you have a week off to build on this confidence, shit. When you kind of mental and you kind of riding up and down on the roller coaster, that thing's going up. You get to ride on the, you know, Mount St. I don't know, Smack, whatever, Toe Smack. You're going up. You're going to live on that for 2 weeks. It's going to be on. And considering that you trying to get your boy, he trying to get the steak. You're going to help your boy get out. It's going to be good. So congratulations, Eli. Last time I won was in St. Louis. I don't think this is going to be the last time you win, but St. Louis, man, y'all saw some great stuff. But one thing that Eli hasn't had since he blown out the Achilles, that was a long time ago, was one of these. And I'm going to just hold up. I'm going to savor it. Savor it. It's Eli Tomac, people. You should watch the inside line. If you did, you'd have been like, you would have got a neck burn. You would have got a neck burn. But Eli, he's got a race win. But it was like a triple crown. But it's been a long time since he got one of these. So hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Burn! You went from being like, remember I was saying he was like Eli Toe Black.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle, follow your Crave.
Well, my toe black. It was Eli. He was becoming my brother. He was getting so many neck burns. He was getting burned. And he got a neck burn. He was like 49, 50, 51. Now he got 52. So congratulations, Eli. Seriously, I was pumped, man. I was pumped. Pumped to see all these dudes win. Jet, glad to see you all right. Justin, ain't your fault. Vince, keep freezing people. Doing what you think. You didn't even do nothing and people blaming you. How do we know what you were doing? You just going out of inside. Maybe you were worried about getting chiseled. You never know. So we can't even blame you, but we blame you because it's just easy to blame you. So you know it's pretty bad when you like give Justin Barsha the benefit of the doubt. Damn, you know that's bad. You know you're on a different level, but hey, you never know. So it was good to see and glad to see all these guys going. And I guarantee you, it's about to be some great racing. AC, what up, dog? Sorry to see you get hurt. Your mechanic, cool dude. Give a shout out to him too. Wish you well, four wheels. AC, I'll see you soon, baby. See you soon. All right, people. I don't know where we're going, but we're going somewhere because he's going to figure it out. So either we'll be right back or we won't. And the 250 class. Boy, what has happened in the last couple of weeks? Now, all year, Levi Kitchen, he's been good. Pretty good. But it was a lot closer than it, you know, I would say we all kind of expected. Like, that class was pretty legit. You had George Smith. Then you had RJ doing RJ kind of stuff. You had the rookie, Juju Bean, but he's been up and down. But it wasn't looking like this. And then all of a sudden, Seattle came by. Levi went home. Levi had some friends come over and say, hey, I'm a bus open the chef. The chef is in town. And boy, has this last 2 weeks been dominant. I mean, dominant. I haven't seen a dominant performance since Levi. I mean, really, just the difference between the way he was at Glendale, you know, colorblind, decided not to jump on triple on the table, Jordan Smith jumping on him. I mean, we were saying that, yeah, Levi's been the most consistent. And yeah, he's been fast, but not the fastest. We thought RJ kept doing RJ stuff. And then Joe Shimoda, once he figures out how to get out the gate, he gonna be dominant. And then you had Jordan Smith was like obviously the fastest one, but he kept crashing, you know, keeping the visor on sometimes, sometimes not. And then, like I said, we went to Seattle and dude just dominated. And we thought the 20 seconds, all right, it was just Seattle, you know, George Smith, he going across the track, RJ, he didn't like really fall. He just didn't ride that good. And Joe was still, I don't know what Joe was doing. Joe was up there, then Joe fell. But nonetheless, we just thought Seattle was an outlier. And then we came to the Triple Crown. That boy whooped ass. I know I said the word twice. Sorry. Levi put on a dominant. He looks like a whole different dude. This is a kid that we saw in amateur. Actually, we didn't even see this kid in amateur. This kid looks even better. And Mitch Payton, after the last few years, I'm not even going to say anything, but just this is the right team, the right situation. Kind of like when Ryan Dungy went on that 2015 KTM when they brought out the Dungy version. And he got that bike. Dude was different. Well, Levi is different. I said it before and I'll say it again. I want them jeans. Girl, you look good when you back that thing up. Girl, you look good in Levi's jeans like that. But seriously, anyone else that's racing them, RJ, Joe, Jordan, if you ain't in the kitchen, you're going to lose. But seriously, Levi looks good, and I'm pumped to see that. I think for him, it's always awesome to watch a rider almost come into form. And it didn't seem like anything changed. But when you watch Levi ride on the reel, he knows he's better. Like, he knows he's better. And to watch him in the 250 class and watch guys in the 250 class know that they're better, it's like when maybe Jet Lawrence is at his peak. But even then, I don't know if I even saw it like this. Competition is different. But now, I mean, Levi was there. The dude just elevated. And it happened so quickly that we were all like, all right, we actually thought we had a race, but we go racing, you never know. But Levi, you keep those kitchens open. I'm moving to wherever you live at right now. I think you might be here in Florida. Who cares? I'm coming to the kitchen. Can I get an invite? Cooper would like an invite. He wants some steak in Levi's kitchen. But Levi, yep, it don't matter what if Far East Coast get off the gate or not. It don't matter. Don't matter if Jordan Smith sends that text or not. He gonna get dumped. And Jordan, keep your head up. Keep your head up. You riding good. I like the little thing with the girl and all the comeback and injuries. Man, you got hurt a lot, so you should be pumped. Perspective. And RJ, I don't know. Just keep doing what RJ does. You good. But Levi, I gave it to you last weekend. It was your first time. And then you win in Triple Crown again, which you've done it before, but you didn't do it like this. You dominated all three. Sometimes you don't win none, or you win one and you get it. But this time, you dominated all three. And what did they say? You led the last 488,000 laps. That's what it feels like. And the best part about it, you know you better. And the best part about it, after you got the first neck burn, you wanted another neck burn, and you're going to get another neck burn. Well, I'm already kind of ahead, but I'm planning the future. If Levi routes like this, it don't matter who he racing against. And I'm telling you one thing, people, the kid's going to be a better 450 rider than he is on 250. Ah, sorry. But Levi, you know what? Never mind, Levi. Cole, hit it for him.
Suntan, next on fire.
I know there was a delay, but that was pretty much like your gap between first and second. That's the gap between everybody else. It's the delayed. Even the neck burn people can't even keep up because Levi is gone. Levi, kitchen. You got that new insurance claim. You put all those nice tables. You got the girls dancing up in the balls. You got all that stuff. It's suit and tie only. But then you be giving it free like charity. You be working them boys like charity. Keep giving out them donuts. Keep giving out them turkeys. Levi, keep the kitchen open. It's pretty good. All right, people. That was it. That's all I got to say about 250 class. I said a lot about 450 class, so hopefully you heard all that. So you know what we got to do. I don't know if we're going to commercial. I said this before, but I think we have something about you people because you people be sending in these awesome questions, which we got to answer. So let's get into it, Cole.
Will Parsons asks, will this translate into more victories for Eli, or is this his last Supercross win?
Will. Yeah. It's an interesting question because I actually thought about that Saturday night. And as I would say, no, I didn't think St. Louis in 2014 was going to be my last Supercross win because I was finding the peak. I was able to beat Ryan Villopoto, who won four championships in a row or three in a row. And I thought I did it. I wouldn't say easy, but wasn't that hard in the sense of I felt like I can repeat that. And at that point, I won three in a row. So I didn't think that was going to be my last win. I think for Eli, it's not going to be because he ain't trying. I think if he gets more, it's going to be because it is. Now, I don't see like getting to 73. Like, I don't think that's where he's going. And I don't know if this is enough to, after last night or Saturday night, I don't know if this is one of those ones that he's like, I'm going to race next year or even in the future. But if he's going to win, it's going to be, obviously, he gets confidence. I think once, if Eli has this kind of performance and rides the way he feels the way he did that second race against Jet and feels like, you know what, by running that pace, I can do that. He gets that comfortable and he doesn't feel like he's taking a lot of chances, then yeah, he'll have a few more. We just don't know if he can replicate the speed, like consistency, you know, and where he doesn't feel like he's taking that chance. Cause that's really what it comes down to. But I hope it's more. I mean, I hope he is one of many. It'd be nice to see.
So Cordell Keller asks, do you think Eli views this as a hard earned win, or is there some doubt in his mind knowing that Jet was penalized and then taken out in race three? Does he truly believe he has what it takes to beat Jet moving forward?
Yeah, Cordell, or whatever Cole said. I love my fans. Dude, I'm telling y'all throw real questions because that is a real concern. Does he feel, I don't know. I mean, truthfully, at this point, I think Eli would look at this win as not as it was given to him, but he would look at it as he's been handicapped the whole time. He's starting to find his form. So he probably would look at it as Jet's been lucky because I've been handicapped. I haven't been more myself rather than I got lucky, Jet went out. I truly think the way Eli took off that gate in that third race, he felt like he was going to win that race, no matter what. And that's all you need to see. So doesn't matter what we believe, it's what he believes. And I think Eli's going to be, I think this is what he needs. He's already won too much. This is what he needs. So I think he's fine.
Perfect. Very well paced there. T-Dub127 says, I'd like to hear your thoughts on the penalties given to Jett, Anderson, et cetera, in the second moto, second race, and the thoughts of the medical flag placement. In the pictures, it seemed like the checkered flag guy wasn't holding the medic flag. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it was tough for those guys. I think the one that probably got the most affected was Jett Lawrence, because he's in the championship and he's got a lot more to lose now. Granted, it was kind of a wash for him. Cooper Webb got docked two positions, so it was basically you dropping them both down. Like, it's not like it was a race where the points were actually in that race, like the 25, blah, blah. Now, the race, the thing that got Jett was obviously the last race, but I think for him, he's the one that probably had the best option, the best angle to see it, because there was nobody around him. Cooper Webb and all those other guys, when they jumped it off the white flag, I can see how they missed it. I think with the AMA, it's probably a hard spot to be in, because one guy jumps it and then the other guy jumps it. You can't dock one person because you think he saw it and not dock the other one. And I think when Jason gets it twice, that part, it's a little hard to swallow because the race was over. So I understand the Jett Lawrence two penalties, but then Jason got it for white flag and checkered flag when the race was over. He got docked four. But the rules are the rules. It doesn't matter if you get caught speeding, how fast you were. If you're going over the speed limit, you get caught. You're speeding, right? So I think the easiest way to fix this is exactly what AMA is doing. Make the rule black and white. Like, whether you could see it or not, the dude did have it. I think I can see how they could miss it for a rider's point of view. But the point is, they didn't miss it. The problem is when the first person jumps it, then the other guy's going to jump it no matter what. Even if he saw it, he's going to jump it anyway. Or even he gets locked in. So whatever, the rules are the rules. I've been on that side. There ain't nothing we can do. You're speeding. Simple as that.
E-Morris59 asks, how do you feel about having communication devices in the helmets to tell the riders about flags or downed riders?
Yeah, communication devices to tell the riders about flags. I guess I wouldn't be... guess opposed to that because of safety. Believe it or not, I don't even know if you would hear it. Like, truthfully, when you're in, it's funny how you can hear the crowd, but then your own motorcycle is not too loud. It's like muffled. But then you can hear a guy coming up on you and you can tell a lot of different things. You can hear guys yelling, but I don't think you would hear a guy actually talking to you because the way your mind is set and you're so focused on what you're doing. It's like, I don't know if you're watching a movie and somebody's talking to you, you know how you hear it, but they sound like muffled ants. You know, I think that would be the same thing. So if it was just safety, like, yeah, nobody's opposed to safety. I think it would bring in a lot of other things, because if you allow that, then what, they can never talk to you unless somebody else is going to be down. Well, as soon as they speak, then you know people are going to be shutting down. They're going to shut down. So I think it could be hard unless you open it up to all communications. Well, when you got that, then you're going to be like, go inside, say NASCAR, we can look around. So I think the riders are aware enough and they know, and they also know at the same time when somebody's down hurt, you can tell by the way the guys, the flaggers are there, and Dirtworks and Alpine Star, the medical team, the AMA, truthfully, they do a pretty good job at letting everybody know when there's danger. So I don't think you need it. That's not, having the devices in their ear ain't going to stop somebody from hitting that thing. It wouldn't stop them. I mean, not the trouble that it's going to bring. So I think it's probably a pass on that one.
Okay. So Epitome of a Moto Dad asks, what percent do you put on Jett for the Barsha Jett crash? Him turning down like that on the opening lap, knowing there's a group of bikes behind him coming into that turn, really seemed to be a bad move. But what's your take? Who's to blame or at fault for the incident?
Yeah, good question. And I'm going to answer it in a way that I don't know if I would blame anyone. I think just racing, truthfully, because it's not a situation where the intent, either rider had intent to the other one, you know, like if he had intent to go in there, like So race and incident, like when Jordan Smith jumps on Levi, okay, whose fault was it? Like Levi not continuing speed or Jordan thinking that Levi was going to continue? Like maybe that's not the best explanation, but I think Jet wasn't aware. So if you want to put blame on someone, maybe you put more on him, but I'm not even going to put blame on anyone. I just think it was bad luck, truthfully, bad luck. You know, that's it happens all the time. Maybe not to that extent. Every time you got to worry about getting freeze, the chiz, the bam, you got to block the inside. So I think Jet was just, instead of putting blame, let's just say he was lucky to walk out of the book from him. So yeah, I'm not trying to not answer, but truthfully, when I got knocked out with Dungy, I wanted to blame him, but it was partly my fault. And I think he thought it was his fault. It was racing. So it's racing. It happens. All right, guys, thanks for the question. Like, really good question. Maybe I should just host the show, like the rewind show of the questionnaire show. I don't know, but thanks for the questions. It was good, as they always are. Hey, but you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stews and Stews. And guess what? We ain't got to go to no commercial, right? We ain't going to no commercial, right? Yay! Levi, where you at? Oh, that was, Levi, he was happy. All right, people, you know what? First thing, as we always do, as we always get into it, these are two special Stews, and they're special in different ways. One guy got his second, Triple Crown, this is kind of what he does. Actually, both guys, that's kind of what they do. But last weekend, it was the first time he got, like, the actual neck burn, and that was Levi Kitchen. And then this week, it was like he went there, and he was like, all right, I can't figure out which kind of jeans I want. I'm buying everything. And he showed up at the prom, decked out, and he knew he looked good. It was like born. Levi was so dominant. It was born. Not to him, though. So Levi Kitchen, I'm going to give you a stew, not because you won Triple Crown, because you won Triple Crown, but you ain't win the Triple Crown like this. Not because you led all them laps, because there's been a lot of laps led, but because you did like a transformation. Like you were like Captain America. Like you were skinny. And then all of a sudden, like you couldn't be like denied. Like you just blew up overnight. You look like Barry Bonds. Huh? Too far. But Levi, you a stew. Transformation like that. We need to check you out, son. Levi. And then you get on the podium, then you realize it's Levi, because you're like, dang, dude, you know what, the dude's so dominant. You're like, oh, hey, Levi, you just like a fun person to hang out with. I'm going to get you in, Levi. If I ever take you down, you won't be leading those laps on the golf course. I got you. All right. And then this next person, yeah, he needed one of these. Boy, he needed one of these. And I don't even think he got the neck burn, because I don't even think they do the neck burns. Do they do the neck burn still? Do they figure it out? It don't matter, because he did it in a place that I did it. And it was my last time doing it, but I don't think it's going to be his last time doing it. And he's had plenty of these. And that's Eli Tomac. Eli, welcome back, son. Now I saw what you did. We all saw what you did. You were out there riding and you were scrubbing. And we thought like, all right, cool. That's what he does. Like he did that, but he ain't gonna do nothing. Like he'd be fast. And then he came out and he won that first race. Like, oh, cool. But then people, like, they ask questions like, oh, dude, I mean, does he really feel like he can beat Jet Lawrence? Like, you know what? Like, as some people would say, you get old, you get tired. Well, you got three of these main events, so you're going to get tired. And then Jet caught him that first race. And then the second race, you were like there. And I was like, all right, cool. But he didn't want to get past him. So we was wondering like, all right, see, that was nice. It was nice to see him. And then the third one, you came out and you whole shot. We were like, oh my gosh. Well, maybe not everybody, but I was like, oh my gosh. And the next thing I knew, I was like, oh my gosh. Did you see Jet Lawrence get, oh my gosh. Did he got Bam Bam? It's like, oh my gosh. And then you saw Vince Freeze. You were like, oh, that makes sense. I was like, dang, all right. He came in there. What do you expect him to do? Like he was going down the road and he was like, dude, I ain't going to die. You know how this dude, ask Christian Craig. You know what it's about. I ain't trying to figure that out. I'm Bam Bam. I can't, my reputation is not to get cut off or get hit. I can't do that. Discriminating doesn't look good. So when we saw that, we were like, dang, okay. But then I don't know. I'm talking about Eli. That's how it was, because it was up, down, We saw Levi. We like, there's only going to be one dominant first. And then we saw Jet Lawrence. He looked like when he caught you in that first race, that was going to be over. But then you were like right there. You weren't even the second fastest. You like fourth or something. Like Cooper Webb was like there. And then the second race, it looked like when he pulled away from you, he was way faster. But then he was like 1/100th of a second fast. It didn't make no sense. And then third race, I mean, you just dominated. You went back to old 2023 Jet Lawrence. But that was because, you know, Jet Lawrence, wait, you know, are we there yet? Nah, we not there yet. You went back to the old 2023 Eli Tomac. We ain't in 23 and 24, but I know where I'm going, people. That's Eli Tomac. You a stew because you, hell, come on. Do I even need to say anything? He's a stew, people. Like, for reals, Eli, congrats, man. Congrats. It was good to see. I know what you got. It was nice to see it again. Welcome back to the winner's circle. 52, got plenty more, and I'm going to keep on going. I'm going straight into the stews. Confused segment because I've said so many up and down. I call people Eli. I call Eli, Eli. Wait, that's his name though. Jet Lawrence, Eli. No, I was saying Jet Lawrence. Then I called the kitchen. It was closed. And I said RJ. RJ wasn't even in this segment. None of this is in this segment. So this must be the confused segment. It doesn't make any sense. It always makes sense. But people, what we saw was dominating performance. We saw that the beast mode, barefoot, whatever you want to call him, the alien, he came back. We saw Levi just shut everyone up. He said from Captain America, skinny little man, to saving the world. That's what Levi was. And get on the podium like, I'm going to take James out in the golf course. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're good, but you ain't that good. Hey, just kidding. Levi, good job. Eli, good job. See, that's the problem. Levi and Eli, way too close. Way too close. But people, no one stewed. I don't even think Jet Lawrence is screwed. He probably was like, damn, I live. On there, like he was too busy on the hurt, like Bam Bam was like, no. Vince was like, freeze him. Oh snap, I ain't mean to like do that. So how can I get blamed for something I didn't even do? And then Chisholm was like, well, this ain't the LCQ. I ain't gotta take it out. So he cool. But nonetheless, nobody's mad. Everybody's happy because we get the race. They get a week off. And people, that was it from round 12 for St. Louis, where you saw back the beast mode back. Welcome back, Levi. See, there it is. Levi. Welcome back, Eli. And welcome, Levi. Damn, that dude was dominant. All right, people, I got to go. I can't really figure out how to walk out of this. Are we good, Cole? We are good. Bye-bye now.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.